Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Inside EVs podcast and the fifth in a series of 10 special podcasts we're making with the experts at AVL, all about the transition to electrified mobility. Now, in the future, we're going to be tackling some different subjects, but today we are talking about charging. And perhaps, for some people, this can be a controversial topic, but certainly very, very interesting. Today, we are talking to the experts at AVL, and specifically Gerald Teuschel. He is the Senior Product Manager of Electrified Powertrains at AVL and joins us down the line today. Hello, how are you?
Hello, thank you. Thank you very much.
On what is a sunny day in the UK, which has been nice because we've had some wet weather recently, we join you down the line from Austria. How is Austria today?
Pretty hot, I can tell you.
Excellent, enjoying some sunshine. Well, look, we might even come on to temperature in today's podcast in terms of charging, but we'll see where that goes. Let's talk about charging because whatever EV our listeners buy, whatever size, shape, speed and price, charging is the one thing that we all have in common. And so we're looking forward to discussing the topic today on the podcast. Let's let's start with a bit of a recap because there are people listening who are new to EVs. There are people listening who are experts. So we'll just try and recap for anyone who doesn't quite know the basics. So what's the current situation of plugs around the world? Because if I think back to before I owned my first electric car, it was a little bit daunting, if I'm honest, the idea of going to a charger and not knowing which plug I'm going to use, because we have three here, really. We kind of have we have type 2 plugs, and we have CHAdeMO, and we have what we'd call CCS combo plug. But there's more versions around the world. Where are we as an industry?
Absolutely true. It's the same mess like we have with our mobile phones. Imagine about a lot of different plugs, cables, and you need all of them to be with you to get the right one out of this mess and crowded cable that you have in front. But on the charging side, we're approaching mainly four connectors today on the car side, at least. Yeah, so it's quite similar and still in the same shape like you mentioned. It's still these four connectors that you have around the world, I would say. Nevertheless, we are approaching times where all of that is coming closer together. Yeah, we see especially very interesting movements of CHAdeMO moving closer to the GDP in China, so really having a more common communication and as well connector layout to really move forward in having a better transition between these two markets, at least. And for US and Europe, you mainly have this combo type of charger, and still you need another one and a little bit of Swiss knife for at home for really emergency or low speed charging, not having a three phase cabling or three phase connector at home. You might have just a Schuko, so a two connect standard household plug. So still this is a very, very fragmented area, I would say, on the charging side.
Considering that there's lots of different plugs around the world in terms of household plugs that had developed over, since the dawn of electrification, really, the three-pin plug that we have here in the UK is the result of post-war British standards of wanting to move away from the old three-pin and move to a new three-pin. So that's how we ended up where we are. But obviously US, Europe, Asia, all different. EVs are still pretty new. So EVs, okay, they're maybe more than 10 years old, but relatively, electric vehicles are new. Do you think there was ever a chance that that the world had the opportunity to settle on just one plug? I mean, we've missed the boat now. We've missed the opportunity. But if we'd have got together at the beginning, could we have had one plug for EVs?
That's for sure a vision that we're still hunting. Yeah. So there is a lot of movement in the different standardization criterias to bring them closer together to really come to the minimum number of plugs. Nevertheless, I don't see it right now that even now for mass production battery electric vehicle in the new times, we are 10 years down the road. Yeah, so all the electric grid is quite, let's say, old in all regions, and the standards are as well quite reluctant towards change. So right now, I doubt that we would have had the chance 10 years ago to just come up with one plug, at least in household situation. But we are doing fine, I would say, in having less plugs and less connector solutions on the car side, at least. Yeah. So, and that's already a good step, I would say.
And then in terms of the chargers, generally, and it's very, very hard, but generally, where are we with the mix of chargers? Because, you know, I mean, I certainly in the UK, largely, they are, if we talk about fast chargers, we're referring to 50 kilowatt chargers. But there's a few 150s, there's even a couple of 350s with the Ionity network expanding, Tesla doing their thing. Generally, what's the situation around the world?
Generally, on fast charging, even some people are talking on fast charging when you start to go beyond 22 kilowatt. That's an interesting discussion. Owning it privately and battery electric, I can tell you 50 kilowatt is already good situation if you have it around your corner. Moving upwards is for sure a stream that we see right now, but it's not that established right now in the markets. So the 150 kilowatt is approaching a good market share globally as well as in Europe. Yeah, looking into really ultra-fast charging, like you mentioned, the 350 or even going up beyond that in future, that's not the station that you have right now around the corner. That's as well something related more to longer distance traveling or having it in the periphery of really mega cities, to having a quick charge for sideway parkers or for having as well, let's say, long distance traveling enabled on cars as well as medium duty vehicles for good transportation. You can charge them quite rapidly there. And for an average battery electric, we need to stay as well inside the, let's say, the reasonable areas. So going up to 150 kilowatt in future is for sure the right path for a standard 400 volts, 40 to 60 kilowatt hours battery sized electric vehicle. Because going beyond that means a lot of challenges in efficiencies, in thermal management, aging of batteries, that still are in the focus of being resolved, yeah, in going in really this very rapid situations.
The faster the charger, the more headlines get generated. So at the time of we recording this podcast, and it'll probably be published a couple of weeks later, we just heard the news about Lucid. So they're with their 900 volt system. They're talking about charging at 300 kilowatts. Of course, the Porsche Taycan is at about 270 or 280. And yet, you can't have the discussion about charging without also having the discussion about where you are charging. So at the moment, where is, and again, we're being very general, it's very hard, but generally, where is the charging experience? Because for me, especially going through the first 6 months of 2020, no long road trips because of lockdown, I haven't rapid charged in probably months now. Like, I always charge at home. Is that still the case for most people in terms of home, work, leisure and road tripping? What's the current state?
Let's answer it a little bit more focused on Europe. Here, clearly, home charging is 80 and more percent of electric car owners charge at home. Yeah. Then you have a share charge at work. Yeah. And then a few of them are going out in really long distance traveling and so on, doing all of that quick charging with their cars right now. nevertheless, we need to expect, as people right now owning battery electric cars, I would not say the 95% of buyers, yeah, that you see today out there. And looking especially into city situation, charging at home, putting a wire from second floor down to your car, interesting, yeah, interesting. But I believe the further we go down the road in population of battery electric vehicles and the higher the numbers are, the more quicker charging and opportunistic charging will play a major role. And here we will see a shifting pattern as well, because you are going then like today to your fuel station, having your quick charge done and park your car in front of your house in the city, for example, yeah, without having all the charging infrastructure yet there, yeah. And hard to imagine that you have it everywhere. Nevertheless, regulations are pushing in that direction, that you are prepared in the European Union at multiple houses to have this ability of charging in future. But it will take time. We need to be fair there. And so opportunistic charging, especially opportunistic charging in the periphery, because we have as well more easy grid situations to connect this high power, yeah, and this high power out of the grid to our cars in that area, is for sure beneficial. Yeah, so we will see a shift. Right now, it's not there. Yeah, we need to say. So most people are charging at home. Yeah, myself, I'm charging as well at home. Yeah, with three phase charging wall box. So that's fast enough. Your car is never empty. The range is sufficient. So for daily use, yeah, for sure, holiday trips are more challenging still, yeah, we need to say.
Do you think it's the job of the regulators to take, in terms of governments around the world, to take the lead on things like that?
Very interesting question. Leading it is always a topic that you need somebody to run in front, right? So for sure, we have there, for example, a Tesla that established and own charging infrastructure, understanding that making electric mobility possible means generating an ecosystem, including charging, that you need to offer to your buyers. Otherwise, difficult, right? And waiting for regulators is waiting, might be up to 8 years or 10 years to have a regulation and then to implement it another 10 years. So I think it's not the fastest move and the smartest one to wait for it. So I think, as seen with the Tesla role model, we see as well other role models with other companies, yeah, like Volkswagen going into the direction of a complete ecosystem, including charger and home chargers. Porsche has a similar system, even with smart home, yeah, a smart home solution for your house. So I think, and I see that you need to move things based on the point where you have the most of pain, and that's for sure the automobile industry and the producers right now to bring their products into the market. So for sure, that's one point to lead that situation. And nevertheless, this needs to be backed up by regulatories. It needs to be backed up by communities, yeah, to put things in place, yeah, to make all of that transformation possible. Yeah. So leading it really means putting things into the place. By that, you're setting a type of standard, yeah? So
I guess, yeah, I guess it just means that more people need to talk to each other than they would have previously. So previously, the automotive industry and the electricity/energy industry, so just to pick two names at random, so, you know, Volkswagen and EDF, so the French Electricité de France, the state energy company, like, perhaps they would have had some conversations around the some things they might have worked on together, but actually at the heart of future mobility, at the core, is electrification. So all of a sudden, new conversations are needing to be had between things like car makers, energy companies, even oil companies, or we can't really call them that anymore because they want to be called energy companies, but also, as you say, right down to local areas of, we can't put a certain charger into this one street because there's not enough grid support. So is this conversation happening enough, do you see, at the moment, or do we still need to join up more dots to enable it?
There is a lot of discussion ongoing. Let's say it in these words. There's a lot of communication, but it still needs to be, let's say, put more into the spotlight, yeah, and really pushed more into the minds, yeah? Because this means as well not only producing a product, yeah, like a car, it means really providing a solution of an ecosystem, including possibly certificates for green electricity to your customer. It means you need to have a mobility provider if you're not on your own, yeah, that operates all the things. So it's a very, let's say, very wide area with a lot of parties, with a lot of people and a lot of companies in there that need to work that through. And especially in Europe, having a lot of nations, yeah, this gives a lot of local different solutions that you have in some of the areas. And that is for sure something we see right now in the payment. Looking at that, yeah, today you have multiple cards in your hand, yeah, you have multiple different mobility providers. In US, it's a little bit more easy. There are some more nationwide mobility providers, so you can pay quite everywhere with your card, yeah. But in Europe, going across the border puts already a question mark, yeah. So it's not that easy. As well, around here, city of Graz, where I'm located, you have different providers. You can't go to every charging pile or station. Really difficult situation because payment is not working. And thinking about that, you need to look into that as well as an OEM in that respect. And you need to have all the certifications, a lot of stakeholders that we have in there to make that work. And there's not one solution, unfortunately, right now. There are different solutions for different areas, like public, like private, semi-public areas. So there is still a lot of discussion that needs to happen and a lot of resolving topics. Yeah.
In terms of the infrastructure, because different companies are making cars, different companies are making chargers, something that we hear common from our listeners and just generally in the EV world is a new car comes out, people go and buy it, they take it to a charger for the first time, and the charger fails. Whether it's true or not, there is a general perception out there with people who have bought electric vehicles already that too many chargers don't work with the car, or they're out of order. Like, you know, too many people are turning up to a charger and it's not available. Why would a charger not work with a car? Because if I go on holiday, I'm going to simplify things ridiculously, but if I go on holiday with my mobile phone charger, I can buy an adapter. So if I come to Austria, I can buy an adapter, I can plug it into the hotel wall, and I know that my phone is going to charge. But what is that? Where is that miscommunication happening between the charger and the car? And why does that happen?
Absolutely true. So we need to imagine that on the global scope, you have more than 300 different variations of supplier of charging station that you plug to your car. Different standards, different plugs, different voltage levels. And all of that sums up to more than 300 and tendency really growing. And all of that needs to be, on the one hand, tested. Yeah. Why are we testing that? Because there is a lot of communication happening. Yeah. So we have these 21 steps of charging, or states of charging. Basically, you just want to transfer energy from the grid to your car. And you need a lot of checking, of failure checking. We are operating at very high voltage. We need to take care that everything is working properly before putting a lot of current to the car, that everything is connected, and no failure is there. So there is a lot of checking in the background. Yeah. So you need to imagine all of that needs to be implemented now from so many different players. Yeah. In Europe, we have more than 30 different charging station suppliers. Yeah. And even in different nations, there are different, let's say major suppliers. Yeah. And they vary. Yeah. There are some that are everywhere, like ABB or so Siemens and things like that. But there are as well smaller ones that are quite widespread in different markets. And now you need to imagine all of them implement a standard. And in industry side, a standard is sometimes read as a guideline rather than a standard in the automotive. So you basically get very, very different answers. And it's like talking English to somebody in possibly Austria, and the one guy is just talking Austrian and not even German. So difficult situation. And so there is nothing happening. Yeah. Then there are other things like you have the check, yeah, of your wiring, of that everything is working properly. That's very often very interestingly implemented. And if you're checking that for the first time and you have implemented it on really according to the standard and check that, you get in troubles. Then you have possibly points where some signals in the station are measured not right, I would say. Yeah, we have seen that in testing, that you have stations where even the voltage that you put that should be on the grid side was not right. So basically, it burns your battery relays. Yeah, so you have basically a damage in your car, possibly. Yeah, so there are a lot of things that can happen due to miscommunication, like everywhere in life. But that's a number one source. Another thing is, for example, even that's more on DC charging, we need to say. Yeah, but at AC charging, for example, sometimes the grid quality in different areas, and especially where you have large industries, might vary a lot, and you have a lot of voltage oscillation that might lead to some difficulties of your charger, and basically they can break or have a failure and break off charging while charging, yeah, because they have an overcurrent, for example, yeah? Due to some components that are difficultly sized. So all of that, there are so many new topics rising, yeah, that I think that's a reason why this pioneering spirit at the beginning of a new technology needs to be allowed to a certain extent. Nevertheless, we need to improve in the next years as volumes are going up, and we see that a lot of initiatives like Jarin, where AVL is a member of, yeah, are taking that incident very seriously and try to improve in a wide network with over 100 members, with all major OEMs in there, with a lot of grid, with a lot of energy providers, with all of them, to resolve these issues, to be ready really for wider market share, yeah, for the future, and as well the shift of this pattern from home charging towards more public charging, and then this needs to work, yeah.
So I guess, you know, for people listening that have been frustrated, as I have in the past when I've plugged my car in and it hasn't worked, what we're saying is it's a good thing in a way because it meant that something got protected. Like, you know, it's better that it doesn't work than it attempts to work and something goes bang. So
absolutely,
it's better to be more cautious than not, I guess.
Absolutely, because as mentioned beforehand, the one or the other station really have some problems in measurement internally, because they as well possibly a new supplier did the very best to the station, tried to do the best, but there are failures in the field, yeah, and then you need to recognize them, and it's better to break off before you blow up your battery, yeah, for some reasons. Or even have voltage on your connectors at the car, and to a certain circumstances, some people get into the DC voltage. That's a horrible scenario, yeah? So that should not happen, yeah?
So do you think there is a time in the near future when we'll be able to get rid of all these RFID cards and apps on our phones?
So in general, we are working on these solutions right now, looking into plug and charge standard, where you have plenty of different stakeholders. So overall, it's seven stakeholders, but let's say the for public charging, it's four stakeholders that you have in there that need to play together. We're working on implementing the standards and certificates. It's a lot about security, because here you are, your car is communicating to the outside, and you don't want to have all your data readable to everybody, where you're charging and you have all your movage pattern around the world recognized. So it's about security of data, it's about right communication, getting the right certificates, having, let's say, the right payment and billing to the right people. Yeah, so it's really going to work in future, like coming to whatever charging station you have, plugging your car and basically just taking it, and when it's finished, you unplug it and go off the station. So that's the thing that everybody's working on. It's a rather complex task. It sounds very simple. Unfortunately, there is a lot of work to be done throughout, on the one hand, on the infrastructure side to enable that, to have all this communication to all the different OEMs set up in a secure way. And on the other hand, you need to work on the car side to have as well all the certificates. For example, you need to bring that to your car in the production line. That's as well another area where we are quite engaged, to bring really the easy and simplicity of charging, like plugging some household gadget in future into the market. Yeah.
Okay. One of your fellow Charin members is Tesla, and they went early when there was nobody else building out charging networks, and did a proprietary connector in the US and a network as well. Do you think that other car makers could have done that in the past, or do you think the answer is to have a difference between those who make the cars and those who provide the chargers, or should that be one company? And in a way, I guess you end up heading towards what some people call a walled garden. So I've been with Apple for years. I thought I'll move to Android, and I bought an Android phone. I had to re-download all of my apps. Nothing worked well. And after about 3 months, I went back to Apple. Just not because I love Apple, just because they've kind of got me in their system. So where do you stand on kind of open systems versus closed systems?
For having battery electric mobility working, you need an openness towards all the different participants. Otherwise, this will be difficult, right? Nevertheless, supplying a charging station, yeah, there are very, very good companies doing that very well. So I don't know if it's the core business of a car manufacturer to do a charger on their own. But it's more about the ecosystem that you mentioned as well, with mobile phones that comes along with you, yeah, that you are at a certain point a part of, and it's taking you into an area where you feel very comfortable. Yeah, everything is working, everything is easy, and that's especially looking into all the different OEMs. They are working exactly in that direction, to look to have their own ecosystem, to have their own branding in that direction, and their own, let's say, area that you're in. Yeah. And that's happening already today. So I think it's more important to have really this ecosystem addressed properly as an OEM, rather than supplying now the charger. Yeah. So even for the aforementioned one, possibly they did not everything on their own. Yeah. So that's a point there where you can say, okay, they're specialists. They're very, very good. They do a very good job. But having then this ecosystem where you have to, where you can download your features, where you can download and update and upgrade your car in the future, will be play a major role as well. And their charging is one of the points, yeah, that you need to have in there.
Just to come back to something you said earlier, which was that AVL has broken charging down into a 21-step sequence. And that just blew my mind, pardon the pun, because I just thought, plug in my car, it checks the car's okay. The car says, yes, I'm fine. Charging starts. Now, you do define three core steps. So you say power delivery, charging status, and current demand. Can you just talk us through a little bit more detail about those three core steps then? So power delivery to start with.
So basically power delivery, there you have most of the steps already done. Yeah. So all the pre-checking. And
so by the time we get to power delivery, most of those 21 steps are complete.
Are through, yeah. So that.
Oh wow.
So you basically power delivery is when basically your car is ready to take the charge from station. Then you transfer the energy. Then you need to count the energy, basically on the infrastructure side. And the interesting thing there is. There are different ways to build you. Yeah, it's some stations and some, let's say, mobility providers take time as a measure. Other ones take energy. Some combine the two to have first energy, then time. Then you can get paid for or pay for power delivery. So there are different ways of getting you billed in there. Yeah, and especially while power delivery, it's. There are not a lot of failures happening, yeah. To be very frank, and coming to that means you have already jumped across four of the major areas where of concern, I would say, on the charging sequence for DC charging at least. And then if you go down to charging, then you have basically the charging status that you supervise. Well, there can happen some topics depending on some certain harder measures. And then at the end, you basically have just a current demand that happens at the end. And then you have this metering. You check if anything's welding while charging or before has been welded or afterwards has welded. And then you stop the session. So in general, you can say, power delivery is the core, yeah, the core. Basically, charging status, then you have current demand. That are the three major steps and status that you're in and with which you're really controlling charging. All the rest is more, let's say, getting a safe connection to the grid, a safe communication with the charging station at household and standard plug. This is rather simple. There you have this charging cable for that. Yeah, it's a little bit more simplified. And then at the end, after that, you basically do some post-checking if anything has happened while charging, so that nothing welded, all the contact relays that you have in there are checked, that no voltage can be on the connector while driving. Or as well, if any of the connectors of the battery has welded. So basically, there's a, let's say, delivering power is the most simple thing you can have to the car. All the rest makes a lot of headache around it. And it's as well the areas where most of the failures happen. It's not wild power delivery.
Oh, okay. So yeah, because EVs, and again, I've never really thought about it until I'm talking to you about the complexity, because anyone who's driven an EV, and even those who are curious and haven't bought one yet, but they're researching it, everyone will know that the car charges at a different speed according to the state of charge of the battery. And so even during power delivery, which is in theory, I'm doing air quotes here, but the simple bit, that current demand is constantly changing. And so that's the car telling the charger, I need a little bit less until it's full. So is that what the BMS of the car does then? That is what talks back to the charger to say, oh, slow down a bit because I'm getting full.
Yes, at a certain point. So at the beginning, basically you're charging at most time at full throttle, so you have no current restrictions at the beginning. Most likely, if your battery is empty enough, yeah. So it depends on the state of charge, how much current your battery can take. So, and for sure as well, the temperature and age, and there are several, let's say, points that come into that. But in general, you can say over the state of charge at around the 60% mark, possibly 65% mark, you start to reduce the current. Yeah, so beforehand you are in voltage control, and then you go with current control to not have too much, let's say, current flowing into your battery, damaging a cell or having some lifetime issues, yeah, or generating overvoltages, yeah.
And I guess as I'm talking to you and listening to your answers, I'm also now thinking about, you know, what we talk about in the future, which is EVs being a support for electricity grids. We've gone from a very, very complex process of simply charging the car. And at some point in the future, what we're talking about is the ability for grid management where we say, hang on a minute, stop charging, now start taking from the car. So, you know, and as I think this through for the first time, and this is what you do for a living, so you've thought about this a lot, that just seems so complicated to then have all of that management, because, you know, at some point in the future, it looks like we are heading towards a time when cars will be providing electricity to the grid.
Absolutely. You can, they're different thoughts about that. Yeah. The good thing is a lot of the cars right now in the market are prepared for it. Yeah. So that means they basically can deliver energy back to the grid. So all of that is there to a certain extent. There are cars even that you can purchase today that you can put into your household, a certain gadget that enables you to get energy back out of your car, having a basically some blackout scenario covered with your car battery, yeah, and the charging there. So that's already a reality that we see. Is it widespread right now? Not yet. There's a lot of hesitation as well on the consumer side, because, you know, if it's my battery, yeah, and I know it's aging with doing that, a little difficult, right? There is a lot of hesitation on that one, but nevertheless, talking to the grid, most of the time we're not talking a lot of energy, yeah. Looking to the grid, you want to stabilize it, it's about 15 minutes of power provision most of the time, and it's not a lot of energy, yeah. So putting energy back, that's one thing, yeah. Thinking about even being at home over weekends in times like these, yeah, because your traveling pattern changed slightly. Having this car enabled to provide possibly energy, because I don't want to go somewhere, and I provide it just back to my house, and I have there on my roof floor some solar panels. That's a possibility, yeah, to that is there today, and that this ecosystem, and that's what I addressed beforehand, is a lot more functionalities, putting energy back, doing a business case out of it by saying, okay, I don't need to charge at a certain cost, I want to charge at the minimum cost, and I want to save some money for that, and therefore I provide as well let's say, a certain freedom to the grid when they provide me the energy to manage it differently. So there are a lot of topics that we can use batteries in electric cars for the future, looking into grid quality, looking into grid stability, or even having a certain management, because thinking about the, let's say, the habits and the patterns throughout the week of people, it's going to work, so everybody will plug there quite the same time, so not blowing up our power that we need there, and having just a meaningful and a good management of this charging park in future is a quite essential thing. And that's something, for example, where then you need to have multiple different cars have working into one ecosystem of charging park, and that's for sure a big subject to be worked on, and we are doing here our portion of the party to support here, especially in this ecosystem and charging park management, to enable this communication and to see what is needed and what you can do there. Yeah.
Wow, so much to talk about, but we'll try and that's a whole different podcast what we just talked about. But before you go, let's have a little look at the future. So with the new Nissan Ariya coming to Europe without a CHAdeMO plug, and actually Mitsubishi pulling out of the UK. That charges, that's a plug-in hybrid, but the Outlander charges on CHAdeMO. There'll be no new cars on sale with the CHAdeMO plug. So it looks like Europe has pretty much gone towards the CCS standard. And again, we're talking quite generally. I know that there's lots of cars, that there's a fleet of cars on the road that are still CHAdeMO, so we still need to service them with chargers. But of course, we just talked about how EVs will support the grid. And people say to me, when I say, well, Europe is pretty much CCS and that's the way that we've gone, people say, aha, but CHAdeMO is the only one that can do bi-directional. But of course, that's not true. CCS can do bi-directional, but not quite. Where is that on the roadmap? When do you think that we might get to a point of the CCS plug going both ways?
That's a very good question. Yes,
difficult.
Difficult to say. In general, possibilities are there. Even CHAdeMO possibilities are there. They're not that used right now. That's the point. Yeah? So when is a consumer willing to provide energy back, and you need all the back end, all that resolved as well on the grid side to have these smart grids available. So there will be some time, yeah, still waiting towards that functionalities. And let's say it will take another years. It's not a decade, for sure not, but several years till we are at the point to have that really on the cars. At home, different story. That's something where this will be used much more early. Cars are using it. Some OEMs are providing smart home solutions where you can put your car to, and you even have communication there, and the house decides when to charge what, where to prioritize energy performance, and even provide some energy back in some cases. So at home, this will be a different story. In public, this will take a little bit longer, especially we need to think about one thing. How many charging stations will be out there? Yeah, and today the topic is more, you don't want to block a charging station all day with one car, right? It's really a lot of fluctuation in there. And let's see when we will start really to drag energy out of it, to advance as well on the grid providers and all of that communication in there. And for sure, aging and getting that threat out of the heads of people is for sure a topic we need to address.
Well, on my Renault Zoe, I do a battery lease. So if my battery goes bad, it's Renault's problem, but I'm joking, of course. But of course, most people own the battery in their EV. Let's talk. Of course, AVL is a global company. You work with the world's biggest OEMs and other tier one providers as well. So we can't ignore the most popular plug-in in the world is GBT in China, of course, with CHAdeMO and now Xiaoji, and so version 3.0 of that. Where is that really on the roadmap, and how far along are they with that? Because that's going to be backward compatible, right? So that sounds like that's going to be a massive standard in the years to come.
Absolutely true. The standard is not yet released, expecting this within the next year to be there. And from that onward, this will be for sure a huge, let's say, step towards the future. Yeah, being backward compatible on the one hand, and to be as well, let's say, together with CHAdeMO, quite in line in terms of a lot of similarities on communication and so on.
And so going forward, just finally, the future. I mean, where are our cars going to live? They're going to live at home. And we're charging at home already, but they're increasingly going to live at work. Well, they do live at work or in car parks near where we work. Workplaces seem at the moment like they're an untapped opportunity. Over the next few years, do you think there'll be more workplace charging?
I believe so. Not only for battery electric, but as well for plug-ins, as you mentioned beforehand. Charging is a core subject, yeah, to have, let's say, the CO2 footprint on the one hand reduced, yeah, and on the other hand, if we transforming, the further we are transforming, yeah, and there are a lot of regulatories, let's say, directions or directives of even mayors out there, that you need to build these charging stations into your new parking spaces. If you do an upgrade of your parking house, you need to consider charging places, and they need to be in a very popular way to really help the transformation. So for sure, this is something to come. Yeah, in my belief, at AVL, I know we have already charging piles out there. Yeah, you can use them.
Good on AVL for doing that before most other companies.
So you see, we are there, and we are very active on that. So this will happen, and it will be as well an interesting play for the OEM at the end, because having their car fleet, for example, at a certain customer, possibly they have a certain fleet, and then you can manage that fleet in your parking area in a way to be coupled to your factory or whatever, and you can reduce or lower power or energy cost, yeah, or optimize it throughout the day. That's a quite interesting opportunity to look into. Yeah, so there are different points why this will be for sure in the focus, yeah, for the next years.
And I mean, absolutely. So my electricity tariff at home changes every 30 minutes. It's a new product, and it's not for everybody because it's kind of nerdy, kind of geeky, and a lot of people don't want to think about the electricity they're using and when they're using it. But for instance, for me, overnight is almost free. So I charge my car overnight. But from 4 to 7 p.m., there's a 3-hour block where my electricity is very, very expensive at home. And it's made me realize, as a consumer, that behavior is very, very important. So it's you know, we're combining, you know, technology here. And also, all of a sudden, you know, AVL, as well as being good at the technology side, has to start understanding almost the psychology of the human species. I'm not blowing this up into something bigger than it really is, but of course, behavior is a very important part of our electric future. So you must absolutely love the job role that you're in, because it's an unlimited amount of things to think about, right? There's it's such an exciting future.
Absolutely. So at AVL, every job is really towards the future, I need to say. So pushing the limits of technology and really building the bricks towards the future is the nature working here. And especially in this subject, now I'm in electrification since 2004 timeframe. So I know I have some legacy in there. Yeah, and I've seen a lot of change. And I can tell you, times are more exciting than ever, because things become more and more reality that you could dream 10 or 15 years ago. But right now, they're really materializing, and it's a very serious point in time, and that's a great point to be a part of the story there.
Amazing. Well, Gerald, look, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, you can check out the previous shows that we've made so far, The Race of Technologies in the EV World, How to Simulate Building the Ultimate EV, How You Develop One in a Virtual Environment, and our most recent tech talk with AVL Electrification, Battery Safety, all in the archive on your favorite podcast player. Stick around for more shows coming soon throughout the rest of this year, our special series of tech talks with AVL, and you can find out what they're all about by going to avl.com/electrification, and we'll see you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.